Good morning. I'm glad you could join me on this lovely walk this morning. It is a March morning, and the sun is shining, and we are standing on the Ramehead Peninsula in southeast Cornwall. Well, it is a gorgeous day. It's about 9 degrees. The wind is coming from slightly behind the northeast, heading southwest out to sea, almost in the direction that we'll be going in a little while. So what can we see? Well, whilst we're standing here, we can see directly in front of us the tip of the Ramehead and St Michael's Chapel on top of it. It's a grassy area with a hill towards the end, with steps, man-made steps, cut up through to the top, and a little path that we're following to lead up to the chapel and the lookout. Directly behind is the Ramehead National Coast Institute. It's a bit like the Coast Guard. It's manned by volunteers, and they look out to sea and they check for anything happening, anything, boats in distress, people in distress, etc. Now, the sea today is a steely blue, or grey blue actually, to the east, and the cloud is a little bit milky to the horizon, but out to the west it's breaking up and the sun is shining through and the blue sky, so the sea is a lot bluer. Lovely. And there's a little frigate out at sea and a smaller boat following in its wake. Where they're heading off, I don't know. And possibly a dive boat, as there is a dive site out here at Whitsand Bay. They sunk a ship to make a natural reef, so it's lingering around there, so there's probably divers down there. So I'm at the way marker, or the wooden signpost that points straight ahead to St Michael's Chapel and the peninsula, or you can go west and follow the southwest coastal path along the big expanse of Whitsand Bay, great big bay here, at the far end of which is Loo, which is about 9 miles from here. And you can carry on round, and it's about 43 miles straight west, or nautical miles, to the Lizard, something like that anyway. Well, we're on a grassy path now. There's a few rabbit droppings, little rabbits must be hiding somewhere, trying to avoid if there's any kestrels around. And there's wild gorse to our left, it's prickly, with the lovely yellow flowers that provide the nectar for the bees. You can eat those yellow flowers. According to Bear Grylls, you can eat them, and they would help you survive in the wild. I need to eat an awful lot. They're quite grassy. Should we try one? Let's pluck one. Not too much in flower, because there could be a little insect in it. Let's go for a bud. Here we go. Bird song. Quite grassy-ish, quite a bit bitter. Somebody said it tastes like coconut. Maybe a hint. Oh, and I've just seen a butterfly. That's early for March, and as we've had lots of cold weather. Well, there's rocky outcrops sticking up through the grass. Very tight knit, short bladed, thin grass and stone and mud. Now, the peninsula itself is quite jaggedy around the edges. It's surrounded by a cliff edge and a mound of gorsy grass on the top of it. And you can see the white water crashing. Not too fiercely, because it's quite calm today, the sea. No white horses, just shimmering gold where the sun's catching it, and darker at the wind patterns. Carry on, there's two little benches further down. No back to them, just a plank of wood on each and two pillars under each of them. Oh, there's three benches. I think this formed part of the hilltop fort in medieval times as we're going down to it. Oh, and the wind, wow, it's more easterly now. Because it's head on and I'm looking out to the east towards Devon and the coastline, and tucked behind the southwest coastal path, tucked behind in the distance, is out of sight, is Plymouth, the city of Plymouth, the ocean city. Let's carry on and follow the path slightly west up southwesterly up to St. Michael's Chapel. Okay, I'm just rounding a small hill. There's a bird fluttering in amongst the gorse. It's really colonised here, it's everywhere. It can withstand temperatures of about minus 20, so it's very hardy. The peninsula just breaks the Whitsun Bay to my right or to the west, and the other side of it to the east, as I say, is Plymouth and Devon, and this part just juts out to sea. We're clambering down a little bit. There's no railings here, so we'll just take care. Oh, and there's people's footprints wedged in the dried mud. And the pathway is quite stony now. And I can faintly, if I clamber up here, hear the waves crashing onto the rocks below, or lapping up, and a solitary seagull bobbing on the surface of the sea. Oh no, there's something black next to it, maybe a cormorant. Not much else. An orange buoy far out. Oh, something just in the deep water popped up. There's a dark patch of seaweed below. It's either seaweed or cloud marking. I think it's seaweed actually. Something just popped up and went back down below, but I don't know what. It's too far out, we haven't got binoculars. And there's a seagull soaring, in fact there's three seagulls soaring in the air. And the clouds are a bit wispy now, they're really breaking up. The sun is shining on our faces and it feels warm. Well, the frigate has gone past behind the peninsula, so I can't see it as we clamber up. But there is another boat to the left, to the east. It looks like a tanker from here. Might be turning to go into Plymouth. Or to moor up near the breakwater. Let's carry on upwards. We need a bit of power now. It's all uphill. It's a very steep gradient. And there's a step here, a granite step. And on it, it says Sally Ann Schuller, née Warwick, 1959 to 2010. And a quote saying, embrace life, embrace love, embrace this view, Sally did. Lovely, well we will. Thank you, Sally. Let's start on these big slab steps going up. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, blimey, we've got a way to go. And there's brambles and thorny gorse. I don't want to fall to the side. The steps are turning into rock now, a little bit. Wow, from behind, you're beginning to see the beach at Whitsun Bay and along to Tregantle, which is a fort. And then further along west, I can see, how is that, Port Wrinkle? Yes, Port Wrinkle, then Seaton Downderry, and then Loo and Loo Island. Well, the volunteers at the Coast Watch can see further. They can see up here as well. They can see us. Oh, there are railings now, a wooden railing, because it's very steep, this bit. Now, you could fall to the side. It is quite steep, but you would get caught up in this gorse and long grass and what appears to have been ferns that have dried out. So we wouldn't get far, we wouldn't roll off the edge. I won't try it though, I don't think you should. Oh, I can see the seaweed black on top of the rocks below, the like fingers of rocks sticking out into the sea. And the colours are like an ochre, where the ferns have turned an ochrey brown, the grassy green, and the gorse with the hints of yellow and limey green. Almost purpley, actually, as well. Purpley clumps, dotted. Oh, well, I'd say we're over halfway. We're near, not far from the top now. That's good. Wow. I'm not sure if we've got it all to ourselves. There probably is somebody. I think there might be two women the other side of St. Michael's Chapel. St. Michael's Chapel is derelict. It's got windows, but no glass in it. It's just an empty shell. Imagine carrying all those stones up here. It was two-storey at one point, but there's nothing, no floor left inside, apart from the dirt floor. And we can go inside and have a quick look. It was a Celtic hermitage, and it passed through to Tavistock Abbey. Hello, doggy. Hello. In the 10th century. So officially it was part of Devon at one point, but we're definitely in Cornwall. Now we're inside and I'm looking out the large arched window straight to the east. Now, that's amazing, the wind blowing straight through, framing that view of the sun outside, and it's dark and cold in here. And the southern window, wow, that's a good, the walls are probably about a metre thick, I wouldn't be surprised, not far off it. I'd say it's local stone, this. Bits and bobs and slate, and I don't know about granite. Well, I'm not a stone expert, but yes, some people have tried to carve their names on the windowsill. Well, and there's a smaller arch window and door, and a small tiny window to the west, which is too far up, so it must have been on the second floor. And you've just got holes in the wall where the joists must have gone in at some point. And there's definitely calcite in the stone here, or quartz. It's white. Let's follow it round. Two ladies just walked off with their dog. Let's see if anybody's here. So we're going round to the west, and there's some steps, man-made steps cut up, and a big slab of concrete platform, surrounded by sea deep down below. Now, next to the old St. Michael's Chapel with the grass growing on its stony roof, this concrete slab seems very unusual, but this has always been a lookout point. From this point, from St. Michael's Chapel here in this area, they saw the Spanish Armada coming in 1588, and it's been used as a beacon point. They've lit fires for warnings, to warn of invasion. And in fact, these concrete slabs are from World War II. And you've got the old gunning circles. I think they had big guns here that you could fire at and defend. And they had the planes coming in to bomb Plymouth. Well, and far out there somewhere is the Eddystone Lighthouse. It's about just under 9 nautical miles out, 8.5 from here, something like that. Oh, there it is, dead ahead. Now that lighthouse, wow, it's 49 metres high. On good days it's really clear. Its light shines bright, 22 nautical miles. It's solar powered and there's a helipad on top. Now originally, sailors feared the rocks below there, the submerged, there's a great big reef. And they used to get trashed on those rocks. It must have been very scary, God. And when Stanley, a merchant, decided, well, amongst others, that they would build a lighthouse there to warn of the reef. And whilst it was being constructed, when Stanley himself was captured by the French, some French privateers, but Louis XIV said, nope, let him go. We're at war with England, not humanity. They needed a lighthouse to warn of those rocks just as much. When Stanley got swept away at that lighthouse in the great storm, well, yes, that's, you have to be very brave, don't you? In fact, there was a 94-year-old lighthouse keeper in the second one, in the Rudyard's lighthouse, in a wooden lighthouse, which actually caught fire. And they were all rescued. I mean, obviously, one of them died later, but you have to be brave to be in a wooden lighthouse out at sea when I've seen some of the seas here. Oh, is that a kestrel? No, it's a seagull. You can hear the sea. But then Smeaton built a lighthouse and a dovetail design, so it's much stronger and made from stone. I'm sure, probably granite, I don't know. But that withstood, I think, 150 years, and then it started to sway in the last few years of its life, getting battered by the waves. So they decided, which I think is a good thing, to reconstruct. And now you have the Douglas one, which is on top of the Eddystone now, known as the Eddystone Lighthouse. They made a few tweaks along the way, but it's definitely much needed. And it was automated in 1992. So no longer anybody there, unless they land on by helicopter. We go up by boat. Well, the sun is straight on onto our face and your face. That's lovely, it's warming. And the little eddies blow, swirling around the rocks. Well, I shall leave you up here on lookout. I have to head back down, but you can stay as long as you like. But I do hope you come out for another walk with me soon. Just keep an eye out for the postings. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.